Today we're starting a new series called Compassion. And for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to preach about compassion. All right? So I'm excited for that today. Let's get into the Word of God right away. We love preaching at New Life through the Bible. Okay? And finally, after about 3.5 years, we got to Mark chapter 8. Okay? Takes us 3.5 years because this is what we do. Once I find a topic in a book of Mark, I stick to it. I just don't read through it and just say, okay, we read through Mark. No, we really get into it. So today I would like you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10. Also today, your pastor will try to multiply bread, okay, like Jesus did. And maybe a little bit of wine. No, I'm just kidding. Just to see if you're awake. See, I don't have any wine. But this is a story about Jesus multiplying bread and fish. So let's get into the word right away and read. Are you ready? Let's read. In those days, multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way. For some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? Where? Wilderness. What's in the wilderness? Rocks. Cactuses, right? Cactus juice. All right. It's wilderness. And he asked them, this is an important question. I want you to remember that. How many loaves do you have? How much bread do you have? And they said, 7. Now, I went to a Greek store, restaurant, and I got some of these breads, okay? All right? So this is the kind of bread that Jesus would have eaten. Exactly the same. It's like a pancake bread, okay? After 3 days in the wilderness, this bread probably got pretty dry. Remember, they didn't have any plastic bags to keep it, you know, from getting dry. So these were dry. That's why the Bible says he broke it. Okay? So he broke it. All right? I want to give you guys this bread just so you can try it. Get a piece. It's a good bread. You can have a piece if you want. We could probably feed the whole group here with 2 pieces. So he says, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took 7 loaves and gave thanks. So he takes these 7 loaves and he gives thanks. In another scripture, it says that he blessed them. Okay, but watch. Bless and thank, it's interchangeable in this scripture. He took 7 loaves and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, so watch, he blessed the fish, he thanked for the bread. Okay? A blessing and thanking in this scripture is about the same meaning. He blessed it. So if you want to know the law of multiplication, which we're not going to go into today, then one thing you need to do is you need the blessing of God. You need to receive the blessing of God. So he gave it to the multitude. They had few fish. Verse 8. So they ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. So he blessed 7 bread. And they collected, after the people were done, 7 baskets. Okay? Now, that's a miracle. I could try praying for this. But I probably can tell you right away that they're not going to feed 4,000 people. That tells something about Jesus. That Jesus is divine. He is a son of God. Now, as you read this story, you can't help but notice that this is not the first time that Jesus broke bread and fed the multitude with just little. Right? Remember, many months ago, in chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, Jesus did the same miracle only with 5,000 men. Do you remember how much bread they had then? They had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said that they fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Some people look at this miracle and they do this. They say that Bible contradicts itself. See, a lot of people don't study Bible really deeply like we do here. And so they read, how come in one place it says that Jesus fed 5,000 men and in another place that Jesus fed 4,000 people? Isn't that an obvious contradiction? Well, people who are looking for contradictions in the Bible will always find contradictions in the Bible. But let me tell you this, there's no contradiction in here. There's 2 miracles that Jesus did in the same category. Let me give you the differences in these miracles. The first miracle was done for the Jews, the 5,000 plus. The second miracle was done for the Gentiles. The first miracle, Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children. The second miracle was 4,000 people. Okay. In the first miracle, they gathered 12 boxes or lunch boxes of leftovers. In the second miracle, they weren't lunch boxes. Have you ever seen a lunch box that kids take to school? Well, in the first miracle, they took about, in Greek word for that basket is a small lunch box. In this miracle, Jesus filled big boxes like coolers. It's a different word in Greek that says here. First miracle happened on the northwest side in Jerusalem area, Judea area, Galilee. The second miracle happened in Decapolis. How many of you know Decapolis? Decapolis means 10 cities. Does that remind you of anything else? Decapolis is where Jesus went and cast out a multitude of demons from a demoniac man. Do you remember there was a legion of demons in a man? He went to Decapolis. He went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis is the 10 cities, what's now called Jordan. Okay, so that's where those 10 cities were. And when Jesus cast out a demon and killed the pigs, 2,000 pigs, do you remember that story? What did the people of that area told him to do? They said, leave us, Jesus, please. We don't understand you. You freak us out. You killed our pigs. We're done here. But the man that he cast out a demon out of, or multitude of demons, he says to Jesus, Jesus, can I follow you? And Jesus says, no, don't follow me. Go back to the town where you come from and show people and tell people what the Lord has done for you. And the Bible says this one man who was demon possessed, he went, let me show you, because I want you guys to know that what I'm saying is true. Mark chapter 5, we can put Mark chapter 5, verse 19, says this. We can put it on the screen, guys, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, the demoniac guy, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord had done for you and how he had compassion on you. And then he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. Verse 20. Can we put verse 20 there? Okay. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus has done for him, and all marveled. So the first time Jesus was kicked out of this area that he is now multiplying this bread. However, when God leads you, even for one person somewhere, it's worth it. You might think, what is so big deal if I tell one person about Jesus? If I have compassion and help one person. Sometimes we think one person doesn't mean anything. But look at this story. The person that Jesus healed in chapter 5 from demons. He delivered him from demons. This man was filled with the compassion of God. And he started going from city to city to city. And in 10 cities of Decapolis, which means 10 cities, he preached about Jesus. Now, watch what happens. Jesus, either by invitation or by the drawing or leading of the Holy Spirit, he begins to move towards that area again. And this time, first time, remember what happened. They said, leave us, Jesus. You're killing our pigs. That's our livelihood. This time, they're welcoming him, and thousands of people began to follow him. This is the only scripture where Jesus healed all the sick. You know, in Jerusalem, when in Judea area, some people got healed, some people didn't get healed. But this is the only place where Jesus healed all their sick. So now they're welcoming him. And why? I like to think because of one man who was delivered from demons, who was emotionally distressed, who had epilepsy and had all kinds of things going on, who was banging his head against the walls, beating himself, cutting himself with stones, Bible says. They would tie him in these ropes and then in chains, and chains couldn't hold him. He had such strong power, how much he was possessed. And he goes in and he preaches now. What has the Lord done for you? This is a lesson, big lesson here. What has he done for you? Have we been so compassionate about people who are lost, who are far from God? I like to believe that because of one man, now this whole Decapolis, the 10 cities, are open to Jesus. And when Jesus comes, he doesn't come empty-handed. He comes to heal. He comes to teach you the principles of kingdom of God. He comes to cast out your demons. He comes to improve your life. He comes to give you life to the fullest. That's when he comes. How do you know Jesus is in your heart? Well, you started maybe one way, but now you're different. Amen. Hallelujah. So in this story, what's happening in this story is that Jesus is holding a crusade. Jesus is a long-winded preacher. 3 days from morning to evening. Some of you think I preach long. Well, I have nothing on Jesus. Well, and he's so much better because people are sticking around. When I preach too long, people complain, but when he preaches, they stay. And so from morning to evening, 8 hours, 10, 12 hours a day. I don't know how many hours. And notice this is a Gentile area. Number two, it's a deserted area. Imagine if you were one of his disciples. These are not your people. You don't understand these people. You kind of have prejudice against these people. Jews thought that we were the chosen people by God. We were the only nation. And they didn't care about the Gentiles. And here Jesus takes them to the Gentile area and have to preach and minister and serve people. And how many of you know sick people? You need to show special compassion to them. You have to show special care to them. And so here these disciples are just tolerating these people. And the first day I imagine Peter coming to Jesus and saying, Jesus, are we done yet? Can we go home now? And Jesus says, I don't know. I feel like we have another day of ministry here. And so next day, I don't know where they slept. In those days, usually people had blankets and they would sleep under the open sun, under maybe a tree or somewhere. So they slept outside in a desert. When you have thousands of people coming to listen to Jesus in a desert, what happens? They move their feet. When they move their feet, what happens in a desert? The wind begins to blow and dust begins to. So they're dusty. There's no water to take a shower. It's one thing when Jesus preaches on the Sea of Galilee to thousands of people. Peter could sneak out and take a little dip, right? But it's a whole nother story when you're preaching in the desert. And so Peter and disciples were tired. Plus, if you've been going around with Jesus, you've heard all his messages. Because Jesus pretty much had the same message preached about the kingdom of God. Oral Roberts says this. He said, a preacher today preached too many messages. They need to receive one or two messages from God and preach the same thing. So I'm thinking about doing that. Be much easier. And so Peter heard these, disciples heard these messages. So second day, Peter comes to Jesus. Jesus, listen, let him go. Are we done yet? The people are tired, Jesus, you know. You've healed them all already. Come on, let's go. And Jesus says, let me see. Father, what should I do? No, I feel like staying. I feel like staying one more day. Another difference between miracles of 5,000, 4,000. The miracle of 5,000, he only preached there one day. Miracle of 4,000, they were there for 3 days. So that's the differences. You see that? So there's no contradiction in the Bible. So Peter goes second day. Oh. Third day, Jesus is preaching. Peter's like, okay, I think this is the Holy Trinity. We're going to be done now. That's it. It's over. I'm feeling like the Lord is speaking to me now too. We're going to be done. I'm tired of this desert area. And he comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, the people are really tired and they're hungry. Now, Peter remembers the miracle that he did after one day of preaching to a crowd. This time, he's being very careful. Jesus, people are tired, let him go. And listen to what Jesus responds. And don't you think Jesus was tired as well? Remember, every time he healed, what happened? Virtue came out of him. It takes a lot to minister to people. It's different than just speaking. Somebody said that to preach one message for 1 hour, it's like working for 12 hours a day. Now, I'm not trying to draw pity or anything, but I get really tired after preaching. Just your legs, for some reason, just go. I could play basketball for hours and nothing will happen, or volleyball, and I'll be strong. But as soon as I preach for an hour, I go, oh, don't talk to me, sweetie, after, right? But here, Jesus preaches for 3 days in a row, not just preaching, casting out demons. Have you ever seen a demon being cast out? They don't want to go. You have to command them to go, and they don't want to go, even when Jesus cast them out. Remember the legion? Come out of him, he said. He said, no, I don't want to leave. Throw us into pigs. Why have you come to torment me? Demons start talking to Jesus through people. So Jesus was tired. And what he could have done, he could have said this. We're done here. Let's go another side. And Peter would have been, yes, we're done here. But he doesn't. This is the evening time. This is the third day of crusade. And Jesus says, let's feed him. And they're like, oh no, I was afraid you were going to say that. Please, Jesus. You've all had Thanksgiving dinners, and mother especially, you know how hard it is to feed like 20 people. That's a lot of work, right? Sometimes in church, we have these cookouts, and we feed about 150 people. That's a lot of work. But feeding 4,000 people, even if Jesus does multiply the bread, which disciples do believe now he can, that's still a lot of work, sitting them down. Somebody's complaining, we didn't get enough here. Bring the basket here. How come we didn't get enough fish? You know how people are. People complain. They think it's not going to be enough. Right? We live in a world where you think when somebody gets something, there won't be left for me. Anything left for me. So people were complaining. And disciples like, oh no. This shows me something about Jesus' character. He really did came to serve. Because if it was me, and I was done with preaching, and that happens to a lot of preachers. A lot of politicians love talking to people and telling them what they want to hear. But as soon as they are done, I heard a story recently about a politician who said he loved the poor, he wanted to help the poor, but as soon as he would leave the poor, he would talk smack about them, get these ugly people out of my way, get these broke people out of my way. I don't, give me the sanitizer, give me the sanitizer, I need to wash myself. They make me sick, they're disgusting. Jesus doesn't do that. He goes an extra mile. He says, let's feed him. I'm done preaching. I did my work. See, Jesus didn't, his main calling was not to feed the people physically. We only see in the Bible, Jesus feeds people 2 times. So we see his main calling was to preach, to heal the sick, brokenhearted, to set the captives free. His main purpose was to come and die on the cross. Right? So when do we see Jesus? 5,000 people first time. Second time we see Jesus in this story, 4,000 people. Do we see him feed people anywhere else? Yeah, where? He feeds his disciples the communion. Right? And then after he resurrects and people, his disciples leave ministry and want to go back to fishing. He finds them on a lake, cooks a meal, breakfast, Bible says, for them. He takes some fish, cooks them a meal. So 4 times in the life of Jesus, we see that he fed people. Except that water turning into wine, but that's drinking. And so that was a different thing. Amen. So Jesus' basic ministry was not to feed people. So he could have just said this. We're done here. That's it. We did our job. Let's leave. But what does he say here in verse 2? I have compassion. And that's where our series comes in. I have compassion. What is compassion? Mercy. Yeah, in the Bible, actually in the Old Testament, compassion and mercy are interchanged. Do you know that compassion is one of the attributes of God? Next week, I'm going to teach from the Old Testament about God, because a lot of people think God is, in the Old Testament, is a judge, severe judge. But actually, in the Old Testament, I'll show you the compassion of God towards people in many cases, especially in Nineveh, amen, Gentile places. Hallelujah. So what is compassion? It's sympathetic concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. Compassion is having desire to reduce the pain or suffering of another. Compassion is an ability to feel and understand someone's pain. And so they wouldn't die if Jesus just let them go and released them and said, go to your own houses. But he knew that some of them would get tired and faint, meaning they would just break down on the road and just sleep in the middle of nowhere. And Jesus says, I want them to have energy to make it home. Some of them will have to walk for many miles. If you look at Decapolis, Decapolis cities spread over miles and miles. So some of them had to go far home. And so Jesus says, I have compassion. Usually in the Bible, it says that Jesus had compassion. Somebody else is writing about him. In this scripture, only in this scripture, the Bible says that Jesus says, I have compassion. Now that means something. The question is, if you're a Christian, you must look like Jesus. You must grow to become like Jesus, where you can say, I have compassion. A lot of people who become Christian, God becomes a part of their life, begins to change things, begins to bless their life, and we don't know when to have compassion. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Have you ever saw a compassionate person? A month ago, on Friday, our little daughter was born, Hadassah. And I've learned something about compassion. You know the nurses who take care of you, they just like run around and take care of you. If you think of a nurse, to me, I think of compassion. Because they have to work with sick people. Actually read a study that says that nurses who fake compassion get more tired. Because you can fake compassion, you can act compassionate. And nurses who actually are compassionate, they get energy from being compassionate. How many of you know when we love, we get energy from love? If we fake love, we get tired. When we do something good for somebody and it's a fake, you know, we're acting, we're just doing it. Bible says, if I speak in a tongue of angels, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give my body to be burned for somebody else, but I don't love, I'm nothing. It doesn't profit me anything. So when you do something out of, how do I say, when you act something out, it doesn't profit you anything. When you act compassion, it doesn't profit you. It doesn't energize you. If you act like you love somebody, it doesn't profit you. It doesn't energize you. But whenever we do something with compassion and love, when we do it for real, it gives us more energy. Amen? And so we had different nurses come by. And you know how Dinah had a C-section, so they had to always watch on that cut and incision and whatever. And they had to come and help and pick her up and make her walk when she didn't want to walk. You know, they make you walk after like 3 hours after a big surgery. It's like, really? Maybe a week? Can you give her a week and then we can do? No, right? Get up. Like, I'm still on drugs, you know? Can you feel your legs? A little. Well, get up and go. It's like, they're like Jesus, you know, to the crippled man. Come on, get up and walk. And so we noticed the difference between different nurses. Some nurses were acting compassion. They were nice, but, you know, sometimes you had to call them. You know, there's the button where you call a nurse in the middle of the night. Some nurses would come and be, like, angry and disturbed. Like, I was reading my book, or I was taking a nap here, and you want me to serve you. So they do their job, and they leave. Some were like, I was on Facebook, and a lot of them are young, so I imagine. I was on Facebook, and I could. That's why I took a night shift, so I can have some peace. You know, they had the attitude. Others, and especially a girl, a nurse named Erica, she took care of my wife so much, my wife kept talking about her. where's Erica? Can I have Erica come back again and be my nurse? She just loved doing it. She had compassion. And when you have compassion, people know. And so what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples, you don't only preach. Because it's one thing when you're on stage and everybody loves you and you're healing everybody. You're cool. You're a superstar. But it's another thing when you have to, after you have done your superstar thing, after you did your rock concert. Now, imagine if John Mayer did a rock concert and then went and had to feed people. I don't think he would do that. Right? It would be like, newspapers would write about that. News media would talk about that. John Mayer, he fed people. He washed their feet. Oh, John Mayer is Jesus. No, he wouldn't do that, and they wouldn't do that. Usually what? They expect somebody else to wash their feet. They expect somebody else to feed them. And Jesus here, showing to his disciples, it's not only about preaching, it's also acting in practical way. And in the next 3 weeks, and I have to finish because we're going to go into baptism, but in the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about compassion. We're going to learn more about compassion. I want New Life Church, and I believe God wants New Life Church to be a compassionate church. Amen. A lot of times we say, if I win $1 million, I'll be more compassionate. I'll do more for people. A lot of people say, if I make more money, I would give more. That's a lie. That's a lie. I've asked many business people about this. I said, when you were poor, did you give more then? Was it easier to give then? Or is it easier to give now that you have something? And most people will say, now that I have something, it's so much harder to give. So don't believe that if you had more money, you would give more. Jesus doesn't want more. He wants to bless what you have now. He says, how much do you have? Right? So the question is not, if you have enough, how much do you have? Some of you say, well, I'm living on Social Security. Well, that is a little amount, but Jesus is not asking you for all of it. He says, how much can you give? How much can you help? Maybe some of you ladies have dresses that you grew out of. Well, didn't grow out of, but they don't fit you anymore. Maybe you can... Oh, that didn't come out right. Guys, maybe your suits you grew out of. I have some like that. Usually not in a jacket, but in a pants. And so, maybe you can sell something. You know that one of the principles that Jesus taught his disciples, he says, sell something and give it to the poor. We have a cool website called Craigslist. People will buy anything up there. All you have to do is just go through your closet. And if you have a compassionate heart, it will make you do things. And the little that you do for people, God can multiply. Because God can bless that. He's not looking for everything. He's not looking for a lot. The lady who gave 2 pennies in Jesus' time, he said she gave more than everybody because she gave her all. And her heart was right. God is looking for a heart. God is looking for some compassionate people. And as God begins to bless us, as God begins to bless our church, I want our church to give more. I want our church, and right now, our church does give a lot for its size, but I want you to know why you give. You know that we support 3 orphanages across the globe. One in Ukraine, that they have about 4,000 orphans, and they're growing. We give to that. One in Guatemala with Tom Stammen. That's where we're going in January. We support that orphanage that has about 1,700 kids. Plus, how much? Another one we support is in Ghana. John Bull, remember, he came and preached in January. He might come back and preach to us from Ghana. He showed videos what they do and build things. We support. Another one, this is a fourth one that I just remembered. We just recently supported and gave a whole bunch of money to my classmate. Do you remember he came about a month ago? And we gave him like $1,000. We don't support him on a regular basis. But those three we do. We support him on a regular basis. God has blessed us in this country more than the poor person in our nation sometimes would be rich in comparison to those people in the third world countries. Some people live in less than a dollar a day. We can't even buy coffee for a dollar a day. Amen? Amen. So we can say, I'm waiting to be blessed, and that's just an excuse we use. I'm waiting to win a lottery, which you probably won't win. And if you do become rich, you probably won't give because it would be harder. It's easier to give $10 than it is to give $1,000. Amen. And God wants to fill this church with compassion. And as I'm preaching right now, I believe Holy Spirit is talking to you individually. Because you've been putting it off. I'll do compassion later. It's like I'll lose weight when after Christmas, you know. It's like it's not going to happen most of the time. I'll join the gym. Even if you do, it'll be short term. When can I be compassionate? Now I can be compassionate. Hallelujah. So Jesus had this compassion. Compassion is an attribute of God. Do you have compassion? Or are you narcissistic? Narcissism is not a trait of God. Because Jesus, being the King of the universe, creator of all things, didn't say when he was done preaching and healing people, I'm done with you. Go home. He said, let's feed you. Let's feed you. Hallelujah. Don't wait till you're financially stable. Don't wait till you have it all figured out. Don't wait till you have all your bills paid. Choose to be compassionate. And you know what? Look for opportunities for God to reveal to you where to be compassionate. Hallelujah. I need a musician to go on the keyboard. What do we learn in this story? We learn that Jesus is God. Number one. He can turn bread, 7 pieces of bread, and feed 4,000. Try doing it. I don't think you can do that. He's God. He's divine. He's all powerful. He can display his power by turning bread into much bread, by turning water into wine, by walking on water. He is God. Some of you might, the world, if you listen to the world, they'll say he's a good teacher. He's a good prophet, but he's not God. No, he is God. Second one, he's a divine healer. He came to heal, to restore. Third thing I see about this story is that Jesus has divine resources. And you might not have much, but he can put his blessing on your little and it will be much. Actually, one of the principles of investing is the same. I'm going to share a personal story. I started a business when I was 17, and the business started to grow, and about 10 years into the business, we were making good money. I was tired, and the Lord put on my heart to help somebody else. Instead of spending the money on myself and buying myself a better car or second car, I always wanted a helicopter, but then I found out how dangerous they were. I wanted to have a pad in my backyard, a little one, you know, you can build your own helicopter, you know, but I found out how dangerous they were, and I had a dream where I crashed one, so I was like, let's hold on this thing. I heard an airplane is better than a helicopter, because if you could, but when I was young, I dreamt about having a pilot's license and being a helicopter pilot, you know, and so instead of doing that, God says, invest into somebody. Take your little and put into something else. It's the principles of investment. God is an investor. He gives Jesus and in return receives millions of sons and daughters of God. Kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave five talents to one, 2 talents to another, 1 talent to the third one, and says multiply them. Kingdom of God is multiplication in every area. And so we invested the money, which we could have used on ourselves. But guess what? When we invested, God began to bless it. And then God did it again and again and again. He did it so many times. We're like, God, we don't want to invest any more businesses. It's too much. If you want If you want God to do something in your life, give Him something. Delay your gratification and give Him something. Instead of wasting it or eating it today, your seed, plant it. You have to have compassion. You can't just think about it yourself. Greedy people don't necessarily achieve great things in life. It's those people who give away. And so one of the principles I see here, compassion principles, is giving. Giving of yourself when you don't want to. Giving of yourself when you're tired. And God comes in and blesses it. And it multiplies. And what a great miracle. Hallelujah. You can't afford not to be compassionate. You can't afford not to give. Now, I'm not asking you to give. We're not going to take an offering today. However, 2 weeks from now, we will take an offering. I want us to, after I preach the third message on compassion on December 9th, we're going to take an offering for orphans. It's all going to go into the orphanages. I want to lead our church, not just to come and hear the word of God, but to respond. So I want you to be ready. Maybe some of you can sell a bicycle you're not riding anymore. Put it on Craigslist and sell it. Put it by your house. Put a for sale sign on it. Maybe you can sell that and give to people. Kids who could have been raped. Kids who could have been abused by their drunken parents. Sold. Are now being taken care of. Fed and taught Jesus. That's compassion. And you know what? I'm not asking you for thousands. Some of you maybe sell you one jeans that you have, you know, an extra pair that don't fit you anymore. You'll make $5. Give that. It's not about how much. It's about the heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Compassion. And they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. When you have a heart of giving, heart of compassion, heart of love, there will be leftovers. Whatever God does, there's always leftovers. My cup overflows. First miracle, 5 bread, 2 fish. How many baskets did they collect? 12. Second miracle, 7 bread, few fish. How many baskets did they collect? 7. They could have loaded the whole boat with those bread. God wants to bless you. But the principle of blessing in the kingdom of God is investment. Invest. See, don't think of it. When I give money to the poor, to the orphanages, that I'm losing money. No, I'm investing. I'm storing up my treasures in heaven. Now, that's not the only thing we should do. We should look for opportunities weekly. We should look for opportunities every week. What can I do for somebody else? Maybe that's just a prayer. Maybe I could make a commitment to pray for somebody. Maybe I could make a commitment to listen to somebody who's broken and who is hurting. Maybe I can not judge people and say, "Ha, you messed up your marriage, so I'm gonna, you know, you got what you deserve." No, no, no. Maybe I could be compassionate and feel the person's pain. Maybe somebody went and gambled their money away and they come to you and say, "I messed up. I gambled all my paycheck. Now I can't pay the rent." Maybe you don't have to be judgmental and say, "Oh, you just get what you deserve." They already know they got what they deserve. But maybe you can be compassionate and say, "Jesus loves you." Maybe you can understand them and say, "Yeah, I understand you're struggling. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep you accountable. Can I help you somehow? Can we get you in a treatment?" Amen. That's all for my message today on compassion.